Reading from Narada Bhakti Sutra, Sutra 74. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vado Navalambhya. One should not indulge in argumentative debate. Purport, Narada discourages this, the egotistic wrangling spirit. One who is proud of his debating skills and eager to defeat others will lose his humility, which, as Narada says in Sutra 27, is essential for pleasing Krishna. The existence of God is not something to be proven or disproven merely by a battle of logical wits. The spiritual reality cannot be understood by material logic or the speculations of the material mind. As the Vedanta Sutra 2.1.11 declares, Tarko Pratishthanat, logical reason is unconclusive. Only Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksumulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Shayamu Pakadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarug Jascha Kripashindu Vaibucha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, greetings from the Sun Falls. This is my last day here for the year. Busy just packing up and getting ready to go. And I'll be in New York this weekend. Tomorrow I'll attend the Kirtan at the Bhakti Center. Radhanath Swami will do that Thursday Kirtan. Then there'll be the Pearl Festival. Radhanath Swami will be speaking. But before then, I'll be chanting some prayers to Radharani for about a half hour and explaining them. And then Saturday is Ranashtami, because they have their main festival. And many people back out of town, they'll have a small festival on Saturday. But from 10 to 12 on Radhashtami, I'll be doing kirtan and have real chance to really get deeply into Radha Tattva and Radha Leela. And then Sunday evening at 6 p.m., I'll be introducing a premiere of a beautiful film called Rasa Yatra. And then next Tuesday will be my last class at the Bhakti Center in the evening, if any of you want to come. So Narada Bhakti Sutra, I'm seeing how thorough it is in terms of the science of devotional service. I told you a friend of mine came here, was speaking, and someone asked him, how do you advance, and he said, very interesting, GPS. Guru Parampara system. The analogy was nice because what's a GPS? It lets you know where you are. You set a particular destination. The practice, any practice requires a goal. Sadhana, a practice, sadhana bhakti, the practice of bhakti, means that you set an objective or goal of getting your heart filled with love. And then you act to do that by rendering service. And then to keep pure, you have to regulate your lives. And there are other instructions to help you. So we're actually in the final six verses of the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And it's really going to get to the essence of bhakti in a very simple way. The essence is to become attached to the Supreme Lord, attached to his qualities, his beauty, to worshiping him, to remembering him, to serving him, to your relationship with him. And of course, to do that, this valuable thing is to do kirtan, because then the Lord reveals himself. But the process of getting the understanding to do that is hearing with faith from the divine direction to do that, which comes from the scriptures as revealed by the qualified teachers. And not in attaining perfection logic. And not just logic, but speculation, argumentation. It's not that the guru touches the disciple, like a Prabhupada gave a very nice analogy, like an electric shock. Okay, just one second. Someone's come here. Just one second. Because I know you'll only be here 2 minutes. I got to say it. Someone came to deliver something to me. Just wait 2 minutes. Thanks so much for bringing that to me, okay? Okay. And if you're okay up here? It's comfortable up here?
Really nice.
Okay. I thought maybe you'd be missing Long Island. Okay. Okay, so the process is Shastriya Shraddha, have faith in knowledge descending from a higher source, eternally existing, not something that one has to establish oneself. But it's not exactly an electric shock. You know, Prabhupada said you use your intelligence, but you use your intelligence in service. And then there's a revelation of knowledge. Understanding God is a revelation because God is a person. And a person can only be understood if that person gives themselves. It's beyond our logic. There's a certain order and reason in the world that helps us understand the absolute truth. But to ascend to a complete understanding by logic, it is beyond logic, really. It's not that the way things are conform to something higher than the way things are. The way things are is the way God wants them. You know, even if you try to stretch our imagination, even if we try to stretch our imagination, to just existence, we actually think of what God means. It's beyond our logic. Something that's eternally existing and that always was perfect without cause. We don't have any experience of anything without cause. nor do we have experience of reality beginning at a particular time, and that nothing was existing. I mean, either something's eternally existing or nothing was existing. I won't follow Dave. And then all of a sudden, something came into existence. Hey, Baladev, I will. What? Please come to the class. Great. Is the servant of the Vaishnav, is Baladev coming? Here. Good. So, thank you for coming. I got an audience now. Yeah. So the verse is, one should not indulge in argumentative logic. So, either option, that there's absolutely nothing and then reality begins, or reality is always existing, but it has to be one that's beyond our conception and understanding. So it's revealed by understanding the Shastras, but that is a service that pleases the Shastra. And then the Shastra reveals the understanding and meaning. It's just not by scholarship alone. But we can't deny that we need the right tattva understanding. But as an entrance into that understanding, sambandhagyan in Sanskrit means understanding relationship. Understanding basically what is metaphysics? It's to understand our relationship with everything that exists. That's metaphysics. So, and then when we understand our relationship with everything that exists, then we can have a proper relationship with everything that exists. And that's what we are. Just like a, you know, parent to a child, what the parent is in relationship. The husband to the wife, what they are is in relationship. That's what they are. We are in relationship because we're part of something greater than ourselves. But without having the proper understanding, we can never experience and understand that relationship. Sambandhagyan, Prabhupada put it very, very clearly. What is this metaphysical knowledge? Understand God, spirit, matter, and the controller of both. Spirit, matter, and the controller of both. What does that mean? It means that you have to understand the relationship of God to his energies. In other words, you have to understand reality before you can understand your relationship with God. Because if you think that you, if spirit thinks it's matter, if you think you're the body is given to enjoy. So you'll think you're separate from God. If you don't understand the relationship between the soul and God and think the soul is God, how can you love God? Love requires a relationship. If you think you're God, what's the question of having a relationship with God? Or if you think God is material, you don't understand the relationship between God and matter, that matter is under God's control, and you'd rather that you think that God is a product of matter, which certain philosophies believe, then why should you worship God? He's not at. So when you have proper understanding, you can develop your relationship with God. Otherwise, you can't begin your relationship with God. If you are Mayavadi, which is an incorrect understanding, then you can't have bhakti. Because you don't believe there's any relationship, because individuality doesn't exist. And relationship requires individuality. So there's no question of relationship. So there is some understanding. But bhava or love requires more than an understanding. It requires an implementation of that understanding by serving God. One second, I heard. I'll be one second. Okay. Paul, are you still there? So, Buddha Bhava Samabhita, Buddha, you need intelligence. But how does the real intelligence come? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matasarvam Pravartate Iti Buddha Bhajanti Mam Buddha Bhava. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. That's my relationship with them. The wise who know this relationship, that I am God, they engage in my devotional service. What's the next verse? Esham satatiyatanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami. For one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come back to me. So, logic is limited. And what's here when it's talking about logical reasoning is material. It's speculation of the mind. It's not based on sound premises that come from Shastra. So it's limited in that way. But the other thing is argumentative logic is a product of the ego of trying to establish oneself as superior. So once you get into that mood, you can never understand God. It says that God is the absolute truth. You have to be the servant. There's no way you can realize the absolute truth without becoming the servant of the absolute truth. So this argumentative logic is you can see what they're taught. Are you getting into the bhakti world? Now it's saying, okay, well, this is the last verses coming up. You have to listen to the shastra. You have to go to spiritual authority. That's how you're going to be directed. There's many, many brilliant people in the world. It doesn't make them devotees of God. They have incredible minds. It doesn't make them devotees of God. But more than that, we have to avoid this tendency to superiority. And one of the main ways to exert superiority, one of the main ways to exert superiority is to defeat someone in argument. And if that's your motive, you disqualify yourself from spirituality. That's, you know, that's what you can see why they're saying this. You see in a spiritual movement, people become attracted to controversy to establish their superiority. It's all about their superiority. Someone just sent me a link of a kind of a criticism of the Bhakti Center. It's absolute pure envy. That's the root of it. Absolutely the root of it, because it's not honest. And therefore there's half truth. I'm seeking truth. I have an objective. And I will not let the facts get in the way of my truth. And that goes on. There's so much of these websites that discuss so many things. And the source of it are people who are not really deeply interested in Krishna consciousness. Because they don't understand some Mandigam. They don't understand Vaishnava Tattva. for sure. And they live in the world of argumentative logic and controversy. Now, of course, the point is made here that while a devotee doesn't argue on his own account, right, as a matter of love to defend spiritual truths that will help people realize the absolute truth, they may have to face opposing arguments, but it's not at all their bob or mood. It's their duty. However, when a Krishna-conscious preacher defends the Lord and the Vaishnavas against blasphemy, that should not be taken as vain controversy. It's really where it's coming from. What is the motive, really? Just out of love, you may have to defend. But that's so much different than being attracted to live in the world of controversy. Ichudveshan samutena dvandvamohena bharata. We're born into this world, born out of the dualities of desire and hate. Enjoyment has two factors. One is the actual stimulation that one gets when the desires are fulfilled, when the world moves according to our desires. And therefore, desire and controller are synonymous. Because if you want to enjoy, means you want the world to move according to your own desires, then you will try to control it. When you say he's a controller, what do you mean? He's an enjoyer. The other is the satisfaction of superiority that we're all seeking. The ego satisfaction that we're all seeking. So where is it born? Your desire for controversy. The devotee shies away from controversy because he doesn't want to waste his time. He just doesn't want to waste his time. His tongue is for chanting God's holy names. That's our entrance back to Godhead. That's the way that we please God, by chanting his names. And if we probably, if each of us cut out the frivolous talk, we probably each can chant between 32 and 64 rounds a day, in addition to what else we do. Many of us, unless you may be working with it, what can I say? So the Vaishnava, a sincere student, should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial. With such discussions strengthen the mind, thus one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. So we don't shy away from establishing on the basis of Shastra and basis of sacred text spiritual conclusions. Just like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the Gop Kumar, he's a cowherd boy. He's on, you know, playing with his friends in Vrindavan. And when he's playing his friends in Vrindavan, then he sees this ecstatic Mahabhagavat, most exalted Vaishnav. And when he sees this most exalted Vaishnav, somehow or other, he winds up getting diksha from him. So he gives him the mantras. And within the mantra is the seed of sambandha vishesh jnan, our relationship, understanding of our relationship with God, and bhagavat sarup jnan, the form of God whom we have a relationship with. There's some seed, some conception, some idea. What do you get from guru? What do you get from teacher? You get a conception, a spiritual conception. That's what you get from teacher. They put it in your heart. So he had that, but his guru was such a high, elevated Uttama Bhagavat Vaishnava that he just was in ecstasy and disappeared. So he had the mantra, he had the inspiration, but he didn't have the knowledge. So what happened? Well, he goes, and then he becomes attracted to this spirituality, and then ultimately doesn't satisfy his heart, and then he goes a little bit further, and then gets attracted to this kind of aspect of spirituality, and then he's not satisfied at all. So he keeps on moving, but the movement is not direct because he doesn't have the guidance of the teacher. So the conclusions, the proper conclusions, guide us. Faith in the proper conclusions move us in the right direction. And one doesn't move without faith. So here, it's a very subtle point. No, don't resort to debate. That's not your method of understanding. That's born of ego. But try to understand the conclusions of the Shastra. Prabhupada always gives the difference between mental and philosophical speculation. Philosophical speculations is you are connected with tradition, with proper authorities, and you really use your brain to try to figure out how those conclusions are correct. Mental speculation is the process of trying to come to your own conclusions, which is very difficult because, one, generally when you're on your own, you lack a certain type of... You can easily fall prey in your conclusions. They can easily be affected by your attachments. Because when we want to enjoy something, to enjoy it fully, we want it to be right. Guilt always dampens enjoyment. So we try to use our intelligence many times if we're not absolutely sincere to support our attachments. So a lot of our philosophy is based on our attachments, not on our desire to surrender to God. It's based on our attachments. So when you challenge someone's philosophy, you're challenging their attachments. And if they are a moody, a person who's trying to establish their superiority by argumentation, you're also challenging their ego. Where in spiritual circles, the goal is to understand, not to win. You'll gladly be defeated by someone who can express the conclusions and give you a higher level of understanding. But a moody will not do that. A moony means one who's into this argument and speculative knowledge. He won't do this. But that doesn't mean that we should not try to understand the conclusions. Because if we understand them, we'll have more faith in them, and we'll act on them, and we'll move on them. Lord Brahma made the same point in his prayers to Lord Krishna in chapter 14 of the 10th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam Atapi te deva padam bhujam dvaya prasada lesha nugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno vachanya ekopi charim vachinvan. My Lord, one who is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many, many years. Whoops. I skipped something. But sometimes a preacher will avoid a fight if he sees that the challenger simply wants to argue for the sake of argument. So if it's an individual thing and someone's trying to establish it and trying to establish his ego, and it's not a conclusion that's publicly affecting others, then the preacher may just avoid it. Rupa Goswami once declined to debate a rascal who came to defeat him, but then Rupa's nephew, Jiva Goswami, took up the challenge. So a devotee may or may not choose to meet the challenges of the atheist and voidist, depending on the circumstance, but in any case, he knows that debate and challenge do not lead to a true understanding of God. Certainly the devotee himself has no challenging spirit when he approaches the scriptures of the acharyas. He accepts them axiomatically beyond doubt. But that doesn't mean that one beyond argument. But that doesn't mean one doesn't raise his doubts. Even if you have full faith that you're approaching an authority in a particular field, you can't have full faith that your intelligence is pure enough to understand things completely. And therefore, when things belie your logic, belie your reason, your morality, or you don't blindly accept them. You raise your doubts and give the teacher a chance to clarify you. Therefore, it says, and I quote this verse many times, that there's two things that are required to advance in bhakti, faithfulness and thoughtfulness. If you're not faithful, then your level of understanding will be limited to your intelligence, which has been conditioned by so many things. I mean, in terms of seeing reality, every person is convinced they see the truth. But if you're on a spiritual path, every year you'll get startling revelations of how simple things you weren't deceiving, simple things you weren't understanding. I would say it's happened to me every year in my spiritual life. And it continues to happen. Every year. So, a student raises doubts. He doesn't belie the culture of faith and say you're wrong to the teacher. He says, I don't understand. And he raises his doubts, which is one of the signs of intelligence, and engages in a dialectic with the teacher. And then as the teacher answers his questions and helps the students to build, helps build the student's frame of reference, then the student may finally be able to understand what the teacher was saying. I was reading this article when Einstein first came to America. And there was this leader of the Zionist movement that brought him the name, I think, Weizmann. And he was himself a professor. So they asked him, you know, you've been with Einstein on the ship coming over. Has he talked to you about relativity? The theory of relativity? He said, yes. He said, do you understand it? He said, no, but after hearing from Einstein for 30 days, I understand that he understands it. So, Yeah, so you have to raise your doubts and get them cleared. And Jiva Goswami, to show this point, he quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam where it says, Lord Brahma heard the Vedas three times and then came to the conclusion that the essence of religion is pure devotional service. He heard the Vedas the first time. It's mostly fruit of activities to inspire materialistic people to regulate their lives. So he heard that. So initially, by his intelligence, when he heard the Vedas, he said, oh, the essence of religion is fruit of rituals. But he did not. First of all, it's not what the Vedas say. It's how he filtered it through his understanding and came to that conclusion. But he wasn't a blind follower. So he said, well, how can that be? So he raised his doubts to Krishna, and Krishna spoke the whole Vedas again. And then he saw a glimpse into the Upanishads. And he thought that was interesting. But he said, how could the essence of religion simply be intellectual? He raised this out. And the third time, he understand that the essence of all religion is pure devotional service. So Jiva Goswami says, if the disciple does not raise his doubts in a submissive way and get his doubts cleared, he'll have misconception about what devotional service is. He'll think devotional service is karma, or he'll think it's gyan, renunciation. And in the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, we can see when people are not hearing properly and they're not raising their doubts to people who are versed in Shastra, they don't come up with the right conclusions, even though sometimes they're convinced that they do. And they think that devotional service is renunciation. Even if they're not renounced, that's what they think it is. Just like Arjuna, he thought devotional service meant go to the forest. But he raised his doubts to his guru, Krishna. And when the doubts were cleared, then he understood that that was a superficial understanding. That real surrender, real letting go, means to let go of our selfish desires and align ourselves with the will of the absolute reality. It's like the body has desires. You serve the hand serves the desires of the body. It's good for the whole body. So when you serve God, it's good for everyone. Certainly, the devotee himself has no challenging spirit when he approaches the scriptures or the acharyas. He accepts them axiomatically beyond argument. The best method to solving one's personal doubt is to inquire submissively from advanced Vaishnavas who will be able to answer in terms of Shastra and reason. So the best method is that, and that's what's going to be described. Best method is to hear from those who know. Think about learning anything. Learning a musical instrument. Learning yoga. Is it more effective to understand the science by working it out yourself or by approaching a teacher that knows? It's such a simple point. So we approach a teacher who knows. We try to find a teacher who knows. And under their guidance, we can move forward. And if we have doubts, we raise those doubts to get them clear. But our understanding is simply so that we'll have a proper basic conception of the absolute reality of the practice to get there and the inspiration to do so. But that's where the real realization and understanding will come from. The problem is because of all our misconceptions, we don't take shelter of the holy name fully. We don't have that faith yet. So I have to get up early tomorrow, so I'm going to end a little early today. Anybody like to ask any questions? For someone to see, are people able to get on? Can someone say hello?
We're here, Marsh.
Okay. Anybody like to say hello? Have any questions? Holidays?
This plank is serving Billy has intelligence to hear less.
Baladev asked the question, what about a sudra? Simple guy that's just serving and doesn't have the intelligence to grasp. But they must have some depth of understanding, otherwise why are they serving? If it's just a mental thing, then, you know, it will end. So there must be some understanding. Understanding is not just intellectual. There's a verse that says, Ahobata swapa chachogari anyajivagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaschich. That one who has one name. There's something great about that. One comes to the point of serving. We see that people who have that really, and with a real motive of simple service, we see that they have profound depth of understanding of the philosophy. It doesn't mean that you have to be able to clear others' doubts with the philosophy. A teacher has to know. Teacher has to know the Shastra because he has to clear people's doubts. But to be a pure devotee, you don't have to know the Shastra. And that, you know, he must have realization. So to serve, you know, without saying, you know, why am I the only one serving, or the other people are not doing anything, or... So obviously, there is a level of perception called realization. It's not just an intellectual thing. But even that sudra had an understanding first. Otherwise, it's just his nature to serve, so he's serving. But then it's according to the modes. Then there's some motive. But if he is simple and humble and serving, wonderful. You look at a person and say, they have understood deeply. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
I was at a home program many, many years ago, and I asked Dvaita Maharaj a question. I don't remember what my question was, but I always remembered the answer. And he said, if you're intelligent, you'll serve. So I thought that put the function of intelligence in a nice perspective.
Right, without doubt. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gil.
I didn't catch, you had said where you were going to be on Sunday. I didn't catch that.
At 6 p.m. at the Bhakti Center, there's a film called Rasayatri. You look at their Bhakti Center website. And Govind Amal is going to drive me in, and I'm going to introduce it and watch the film, and then we're going to meet the author. It's called Rasayatra. Evidently, it's a very beautiful film.
Hmm.
So we'll kind of, I'll watch it, yeah. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end now. Somehow or other, I think what's happening is next Wednesday there won't be class because I will be flying to Moscow. And then I'll resume after that. But the last weeks have been wonderful. So much service. But it kind of makes you fatigued at night. So it's but anyway, today was up. Okay, thank you all. Bunch of culpa to be a distraction. Listen to the end of your putty.